This morning, in a passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church. It's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17, it simply says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Amplified. "And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him." I love that. You know, it's a powerful passage of Scripture that really brings to our attention, I guess you could say, the importance of the awareness of the name of Jesus. When you look at what that scripture is telling us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There's a dependence upon Him. I'm doing what I'm doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you're doing something in someone else's name, you're doing it in their stead. In other words, what you're doing is what He would be doing if He were here right now in your place. You're doing it in the name of. You are acting, you are living, you are governing your life in accordance to that popular recent saying that's come into our culture, "What would Jesus do?" You are doing what you're doing in the name of Jesus. You're doing it from His heart, from His perspective. You are doing what you're doing because you know that it is Jesus approved. It is Jesus ordained. It is Jesus blessed. Jesus, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we're talking about the name of Jesus, and we've sung about the name of Jesus a little bit here this morning as well, too, there's power that there's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus is precious. And this morning, you know, I just want, as we begin to delve into to the text this morning, I just want to kind of preface it with a few things. You know, when I was, just as I've been growing up spiritually, there are spiritual concepts that you're taught as a believer, that you can really have a good visual, concrete understanding of. In other words, if I say, you know, the Word of God is really important, we need to live by the Word, we need to meditate the Word, you can see an actual physical book, the Bible, and kind of see these words and get, yes, the Word, praise God. You know, even though we know it's spirit, there's something concrete, physical that we can touch and handle. You know, I can talk about Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood, and we can make a, you know, a replica of a cross, you know, and we can imagine physical blood. There is just something substantive that ties to the blood of Christ, Jesus dying on the cross, the Word of God. There are things that we can get kind of concrete images in our mind that correlate, you know, powerfully to spiritual truths. But when you begin to talk about the name of Jesus, there's nothing, you know, in the natural that I can hold up and say the name of Jesus. And so sometimes the name of Jesus can almost be a little mystical to us when we begin to talk about the name of Jesus and doing stuff in Jesus' name. And it's important to understand, you know, which we're going to talk about this morning, that the name of Jesus is something that we very much need to be aware of in everything that we do, but the name of Jesus has tremendous power. God gave us that name on purpose for a reason. He knew we would need that name. There is power in that name to do amazing things, to live for God. The name of Jesus is part of the spiritual equipment that we need to walk out this life for God. We need the equipment of the Word of God. We need the equipment of the power of the Spirit of God. We need the equipment, you know, that he has given us. In fact, the scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for training up in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. And so there's equipping that we get from the scriptures, and we find out about this equipment. One of the vital pieces of equipment that we have is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Now, before we kind of delve into what we're going to talk about this morning, is I want you to understand that when we say the name of Jesus, there is something that backs that name. When a believer says the name of Jesus, it's not just like a parrot saying words. It's not just like a person mouthing. It's not just the sound of the name of Jesus. There is faith in the name of Jesus that has tremendous power. It has tremendous backing. In the old days, before our money was backed by the trust of our government, it was actually backed by something substantive. It was backed by metal. It was backed by gold or silver. You know, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I mean, you could actually bring in that currency, and in exchange, if you had a dollar, you had $20, whatever, they would give you the equal amount of silver, fair market value of silver or gold. That day, you could bring it to the bank and get metal in return. In other words, that dollar bill was backed with a substance, an actual physical substance. All right? Now, when we're talking about the name of Jesus this morning, we're talking about a name that is backed by the power of God. Okay? It is. There is authority, there is power in that name. So as we begin to talk this morning about the name of Jesus, and that's really what we're going to do, and very specifically, we're going to talk about the fact that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Tremendous power in the name of Jesus. And we're going to look specifically at different areas of power that have been given to us to use that name and to walk in the power of that name. And again, when you're walking in the name of Jesus, you're walking as though he were here, because you know what? You are the body of Christ. You are members of his body. This isn't just us down here doing our own thing. No. The Bible says that he placed each one of us in the body according as it pleased him. So as we do whatever we do in word or deed, we are doing it as the body of Christ. And it gives us authority to walk in the power of that name. Because we are the life of Christ functioning in the earth today. Praise God. Well, there is power in the name of Jesus. We're going to go ahead and start with a specific area of power in the name of Jesus, and that is there is power to pray. There is power to pray in the name of Jesus. And my heart this morning, desire, is just for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will see, that we will get revelation of the power that's in the name of Jesus. That when you say in Jesus' name, after this morning, that there is going to be substance and power in your heart and mind as you see and realize the fullness of what that represents. There is power to pray in the name of Jesus. 1 John says this, 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, this is a powerful scripture in that you see how it connects praying that whatever we ask, we receive because. And he says a few things about the because. We keep his commandments. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, we're walking in fellowship with God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. When I am praying, I am believing in the power of that name. My trust, my faith, my dependency is in that name. Do you know you can get real strong in some things spiritually? You can get strong in some areas of the Word of God where it comes to maybe who you are in Christ. Man, you can know I'm a new creation and nobody can take that away from me. It's there. Do you know you can get strong in the name of Jesus to where nobody can take that away from you? Strong in the, you believe in the power that's in the name of Jesus. So when you pray, whatever you pray, you're believing because you believe in that name. You believe in the name of the Son of God. Jesus, talking to his disciples, gave them some closing instructions as he came to the end of his earthly ministry. Jesus said, "In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." Man, do you love God? Do you believe that Jesus came forth from God? Yeah, we do. And on top of that, we ask in his name. Jesus said this is the way it would work. And again, you see that verbiage of whatever. You're asking in my name. And when you ask in that name, he will give you. There is something powerful about asking very specifically on purpose in the name of Jesus. Now, when you think about the power of a name, you know, we can liken it to our natural, you know, legal side illustration perhaps of a power of attorney. You know, and if you have power of attorney, you have the ability to, you know, write a check on behalf of somebody else as though you were that person. You know, this happens a lot of times, especially when parents get older. They'll give certain children that power of attorney to kind of help take care of things, natural administrative things like, you know, to really kind of help, you know, pay the bills and different things like that. And what that power of attorney does is it gives your signature the same authority as the person who, as though that person were signing the check themselves. So you've got their checkbook, and you can sign your name on their checkbook, and it's just as though they were signing their own name on that checkbook. It's a power of attorney. It gives somebody the right to your name. Now, when we're talking about believing God, and asking God and making petition like Jesus said. "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most surely I say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Jesus is talking about asking the Father for something. You can fill in that blank, whatever it is. But he says again in verse 26, "In that day you will ask in my name." There is an asking of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. You're asking in Jesus' name. Now, there is a power of attorney, there is an authority that you have when you ask in that name. If I am, let's just say I am, you know, writing a check on behalf of somebody else, or I'm going to make a purchase. When I'm going to write out that check for that purchase, whatever it is, the thing that gives me the ability to get that thing, whether it's a grill or a TV set or whatever it might be, is the fact that that name on that check is backed by the substantive resources that's required to obtain that grill or that TV. Okay? And so as I am writing out that check, you know, my confidence is in the name, it's in the backer of that check that I can make that purchase. And the reason why this is important, especially as we're talking about there's power to pray. We, a lot of times, as we begin to walk by faith, we get hung up on the item. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, I can believe God for, you know, healing. Or I can believe God for wisdom. Or believe God for deliverance. Believe God for whatever it is. You know, instead of getting focused on what it is we're asking God for, if we'll get our focus on in whose name we're asking it, and get our faith in the name of Jesus, whatever it is that you're buying, it's really irrelevant. Whether I'm writing that check out for a grill or a TV or a car or a pencil, it's irrelevant. There's power. There's power that I have through the check and what's backing that check to get what I need. All right? So what am I talking about? There's power in that name. Whatever it is that you may be going before God and needing from Him, is it scriptural to ask God for stuff? Yeah, because you're dependent upon Him. Don't ever get so spiritual that you don't ask God for things. You need to ask God for things. You do. You know, if it's just like, I only seek His face, not His hand. I just am so in love with Him. No, well, that's good to seek His face. But you need His hand too. You need all of Him. You need Him completely. And it's not humility to not ask God. It's humility to humble yourself and acknowledge your dependence upon Him and ask Him for what you need. That's true humility. This is what Jesus said would happen. What is it that you shouldn't ask God for? What is it that you should just take care of on your own? What is it that you shouldn't include God in your life? Whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no part of your life that you exclude God from. It's false humility. True humility includes God in every area of your life. In fact, you take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You are fully His. Praise God. And when we're talking about the name of Jesus in prayer, again, we kind of have to have a paradigm shift. It's not about what I'm believing for. It's about the name that I'm believing in. I believe in the name of Christ. I believe in the name of Jesus. I have faith in that name. I have faith in His name. It's a powerful thing. When your faith is in the name of Jesus, so my eye isn't on what I'm believing for, my eyes are on Jesus. That, you know, whatever it is that I'm believing for, the name of Jesus is a whole lot bigger. If it's a matter of my faith versus that thing I'm believing for, I could be intimidated. But when my faith is in the name of Jesus, then these scriptures come to life. Whatever you ask in my name, I focus on the name. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for those things that I need. Lord, my dependency is upon You. It's upon Your name. My trust is in You. I can't do this in my own strength. I can't do this on my own. I need You. I'm totally, completely dependent upon You. So you can see that that power, that trust in the name of Jesus, it's awesome. Because when you're strong in your faith in the name of Jesus, so it's not faith for something, it's faith in the name. So whatever comes your way, the name is there. In the name of Jesus, word or deed, whatever it is, you can deal with it. Because my faith and my trust is in the name of Jesus. Here's a great example, a real life example in the apostles, where Acts chapter 3, it says, and this is, you know, Peter and John, we're seeing a lame man at a gate called Beautiful, and it goes on to say in verse 4, Acts 3, 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said to the lame man, okay, I kind of went skipped ahead a little bit, but Peter's talking to a lame man here. Peter said, look at us. So he, the lame man, gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was begging for some money. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. What did you have, Peter? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Ah, I love that. Peter had something, and he knew he had something. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have. Peter had faith in the name of Jesus. He had faith in the name of Jesus. There may be a lot of things I don't have, but one thing I have is faith in that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. The glorious church that Jesus is coming back for is a glorious church that's walking in the full power of the name of Jesus. Jesus. Peter knew it. Here's what I do have. I have faith in the name of Jesus. And then all Peter did was basically what Jesus instructed him to do. And that day you'll ask in my name. He said, in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most surely I say whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. He just said, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the right hand, received strength. Praise God. Amazing. Now, Peter is giving an account for what just happened here a few verses later. It goes on to say, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And his name, that would be Jesus' name, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter's being very clear here, isn't he? He's saying, first of all, he's asking a question. Verse 12, he says, why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? In other words, they see this miracle and they're going, wow, Peter, you're amazing, you're awesome, you're great, that's incredible, Peter. And Peter is saying, no, don't look at us. Don't put your focus on us. Let me tell you where to put the focus. Verse 16, he says, his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. In other words, Peter was saying, it's not because I'm Peter that this man stands before you. It's because of faith in the name of Jesus that this man, that's what Peter had. He said, such as I have. He didn't say, such as who I am. He said, such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. And Peter was very clear about distinguishing him, his personhood, from faith in the name of Jesus. Why look it upon us? It's through faith in this name that this man stands before you healed and whole. I would hate to have to go to heaven, meet Peter, and say, you know what, Peter? I preach that when you died, the healing power of God died with you. It was all because of you, Peter. And when you died, it died with you. I don't think Peter would be flattered at that. He was very specific about separating his person, his godliness, who he was, from faith in that name. You see, faith in the name of Jesus doesn't pass away. This is why it's very important to understand there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to pray as Jesus instructed us to pray in his name. This is not a dispensational truth for 70 years. This is a truth for the church to pray in his name. And Peter demonstrates faith in that name and the power of faith in that name. And so what do we see? As we continue to go through scriptures, James chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. What do you see there? It's in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. My faith and my trust is in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in that name. There is power in that name to receive from God. There is power in that name. What does that mean? I am putting my trust in that name. I'm not praying prayers, putting trust in my spiritual ego, or how many chapters I read, or like what Peter said, by our own power or godliness. In verse 12. If Peter would have been trusting in his own, Peter's power and godliness, that man would have never gotten up. And I'm telling you what, this takes humility to separate who you are and where you're at and where you are on the spiritual growth chart right now. It's all out the door. I have faith in Jesus' name. Period. It really targets your faith when you pray. My trust, Lord, is in your name. Because I believe in the name. I believe in the name. The commandment to believe in the name. My trust is in that name. That name that is above every name. My trust is in Jesus' name. Such as I have, give I you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, rise. So praise God. We see here, as the church then, is anyone among you sick? There is a trust in the name of Jesus. When you're praying for healing, put your faith and your trust in that name. The prayer of faith. We have faith by what Christ did for us redemptively. By his stripes, you were healed. The will of God asked for in the name of Jesus. And so your trust is there. It's there. It's not psycho whatever. It's just simple trust in the name of Jesus. Believing, having confidence in that name. And so then finally, Jesus said, before, as part of his prayer instructions, Matthew 18, 19 through 20, he said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So we are on purpose, even in a service like this morning, we are on purpose gathering together in the name of Jesus. A very powerful thing that you can do when you're praying too is find somebody else who believes in that name and join your heart with them and pray together and agree in the name of Jesus. Very powerful. Very powerful way to pray. I know I've had times in my life where, you just need somebody to stand with you and agree with you. Praise God. There is power in prayer, and there's power in the prayer of agreement. You know, it's not just you against the world in the name of Jesus, but when you can get somebody else joining their faith with you together, praise God, there is a powerful agreement there. There is a powerful, in other words, you're both saying, yeah, we both believe in the power of that name of Jesus. And we agree on earth. We begin to declare what we believe, what we declare. Father, this is what we ask in your name. There is power to pray. When you pray and you pray in Jesus' name, praise God, you are declaring, Father, my faith is in that name. According to John chapter 16, in that day, this is that day. And so, Father, here we go. In the name of Jesus, I believe it. I thank you for it. Praise God. It's that name and what that name represents that gives you the power to receive, that gives you the legal right. Like we said, that power of attorney gives you a legal right to a person's name. Jesus gave us a legal right to his name. You see, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's not physically on the earth right now. He's physically on the earth through his body, through me and you. So he's given us that authority to walk it out in the earth, to ask, to believe, to receive. There is something very useful in the hand of God, and that is a child of his who knows his authority in his name. He can send that child just about anywhere. Well, anywhere he wants to send him. And that child knows the authority in his name. Boy, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. It's joy when you walk in the authority of that name and you see things come to pass. It's a joy. It's a revelation. God is with me. God hears me. And God is answering my prayers. But there's power. There's power to pray in the name of Jesus. Also, there's power to resist in the name of Jesus. So praying in the name of Jesus, whatever it is that I'm believing for, whether it's a financial, whatever thing, again, my confidence and my faith is in Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking in your name. I believe in your name. I believe in the power of that name, and I believe that I receive whatever it is that I need because of your name. period. Not because of my power or goodness, but because of the name of Jesus. That's where my trust and my hope is. There is also power to resist in the name of Jesus. What do we talk about? Resist. Well, there can be forces that can come against us that are wrong. The Bible says, Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if you maybe have noticed this in your own life, he doesn't make an appointment ahead of time before he's going to do that. Thieves don't do that. They come when they come. In fact, they're trying to sneak up on you. And they're trying to catch you off guard. That's what they do. And we don't just yield to everything and call it God. That's unscriptural. No, we submit to God. And we resist the devil. And he will flee from you. We don't submit to God and spiritualize it. We don't submit to God and then submit to the devil and spiritualize it as God. No, there's two different verbs going on, isn't there? There's a submission and there's a resisting. We submit to God and we resist the devil. 1 Peter 5 says, your adversary, the devil, roams about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Is it New Testament Christianity to believe that there is a devil in the world? Yeah, very much so. In fact, you run a reference on the word devil in the Old Covenant and run a reference on the word devil in the New Covenant. And you're going to see that there's more light regarding the awareness of the devil and more commands and exhortations to believers as it relates to the devil. So we can't just put our head in the spiritual sand and spiritualize everything as God. We've got to obey the word. We got to obey the word and realize that, yeah, thank God I submit myself to God, but then there is going to also be resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amplified. Be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. In other words, the enemy is going to come against you. He's going to push against you, and you need to push back. Jesus said, don't resist an evil person. Somebody, you're turning the other cheek when it comes to people. But when the devil comes against you in spiritual forces, in your mind, it can be fear, it could be hatred, it could be, you push back. No, I'm not submitting to that. I'm resisting. There is a resisting that we have to do. There is power to resist in the name of Jesus. You know, fear has a real spiritual force about it. You could be going along fine, and then all of a sudden, just your whole world can be falling apart in a moment of time with a thought. Thank God we can resist in the name of Jesus. And those spiritual forces that work against your mind, they require other spiritual forces to push back against them. A lot of times in the natural, if we don't know the spiritual forces to push back, we turn to things in the natural for relief. That's how we get caught up in drugs and alcohol and sexual things and all that stuff. We're trying to look for relief from a spiritual pressure when we have the name of Jesus for our relief to push back those forces. Fear comes. It is written, in the name of Jesus, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I resist that thought. I push it back, no, in Jesus' name. I won't go there in Jesus' name. No. That's resisting spiritually. There is power in the name of Jesus to resist. That's why the Bible says, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. When a force comes against you, you can't take a chair and throw it at it. Your physical strength cannot defeat a demon spirit or influences. It takes authority in the name of Jesus to get spirit to spirit. Now, I can move this desk with a physical hand, or this podium, a physical podium with a physical hand. But this physical hand can't push back a demonic influence. It takes the name of Jesus to do that. There is power in the name of Jesus to resist spiritual forces. Colossians 2, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements." Now, what he's talking about here in these three verses is what was going on behind the scenes when Jesus was on the cross. Okay? He's talking about some stuff going on our behalf. "And you being dead in your trespasses and sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Jesus, on that cross, destroyed the power of the devil. Any power or principality that comes against you has been spoiled. It has been disarmed in his name. It has been disarmed in the name of Jesus because of what he did on the cross. You see, why is that? Because all the powers and the principalities had their shot. They had their shot for 33 years, and they couldn't get him to sin. They couldn't get him to fall. He was tempted. He became like a man, every point as we are, yet without sin. And there was something redemptive in that. We know that there was something redemptive in his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We know that there was something redemptive in the stripes for our healing. But there was something redemptive in his perfect victory over every power and every principality, and Satan trying to get him at the backside or get him on the desert. There was something redemptive about that for us. There was something powerful to where we now, praise God, have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, not just from the penalty of sin, but over the power of sin, over anything that comes against us. Praise God. And the scripture I don't have up there that I just wanted to make reference to, see, something the Apostle Paul was just praying for them. He simply said, "You know, I'm praying for you. I don't cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you prayers in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward us who believe." He's praying for them to get a revelation of the power that works toward them who believe, "according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And then Ephesians 2, 6 goes on to say, or 5 says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In other words, this is kind of a lot of flowery, spiritual-sounding language to basically say this. When Christ defeated those powers and principalities and disarmed them and had that place, that name above every name, and that place of authority as the head of the body of Christ, he raised us up together with him. In other words, he gave us that victory. So there is power in the name of Jesus. When you say in the name, when you say Jesus' name, you even see in the natural, when you just mention the name of Jesus, you can mention other names and we'll just, you know, be amazed at how culturally rounded you are. But when you mention the name of Jesus, there is something that is uncomfortable in the air. The prince of the power of the air. There is power in that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, he, through his name, through his power, what he did at Calvary, disarmed principalities and powers. He did something that empowered us to be able to go forward in that name. Now, Colossians 1:13 puts it this way. "He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." This is what happened when we got born again. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness and he conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We're from the kingdom of Satan, from the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of God. Amplified says, "The Father's delivered, drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." I love that. The Message: "God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons, and he set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. In other words, when you got saved, when you got born again, you are no longer in this kingdom. You are in the kingdom of God. This is whose you are. This is where you are. This is why there's no legal right for any power or principality to control or dominate your life. You're no longer in that kingdom. And he's given you authority to resist those things, to resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. Putting your, why, when I say in the name of Jesus, a lot of times I might even, sometimes I'll say it like this. I mean, it'd be a little different. Sometimes I'll just say, in Jesus' name, I resist you. Jesus' name, maybe quote a scripture. Sometimes I'll say, in the name of the one who disarmed you. In the name of the one who made a spectacle of you, triumphing over you in his cross. In the name of the one whose name is above every name, the name of Jesus, I resist you. Declare and quote the word of God. Because those spirits are harassing. They're intended to try to intimidate you in your mind. And that's where you take your stand again. Don't reach for relief in the flesh. Man, take your stand in the spirit. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power to resist anything. What is it that's too great for the name of Jesus? What name is there that's above the name of Jesus? There's nothing. There's nothing you're going through right now. I can tell you whatever it is. I don't even need to know the specifics. But I can tell you one thing about it. It is underneath the name of Jesus. Instead of trying to, you see, the enemy tries to get you off in these little games, these mind games. You just get your faith on, get your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. The one who began this good work in me, he's the one who will complete it. I'm not devil focused. I'm not devil minded. I'm Jesus minded. I am name of Jesus minded. But that doesn't mean that the devil doesn't still come, right? There's kind of two ditches. There's kind of a, you know, there's kind of a devil conscious ditch where everything's a devil and you just got you get the devil on your mind all the time. But then there's also another ditch of devil ignorance. The Apostle Paul knew the middle of the road. He talked about resisting the devil, but he also said we're also not ignorant of his devices either. He has devices. We're not to be ignorant of them. We're supposed to take every thought into captivity and use our authority. In the name of Jesus. Like I say, you know, every day that I live is not another day to fight the devil. Every day I live is another day to live for God. And if the devil gets in the way, I'll resist him. The scripture says, first submit yourself to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And that's a good order. Before you start resisting the devil, number one is submit yourself to God. Get your heart clear before him. You know, if your heart, your conscience is condemning, you're in the middle of sin or something, no, just get it right. Say, nope, sorry, Father, in Jesus' name, I just receive mercy, grace, forgiveness to help in time of need right now. I thank you for it. I receive it. Praise God, my conscience is clear. Cleanse my conscience from those dead works. I love you. Praise God, I'm submitted to you, Father. I commit this situation to you now, Lord. I need you. Submitted to God. And then from that place of submission to God, then you resist the devil. Praise God. And the Bible says he will flee from you. He will flee from you, trusting in him, in the name of Jesus. You know, he's not afraid of you. He's afraid of that name. And when your faith is in that name, praise God. Don't ever get a tough attitude around the devil and attribute it to yourself. You stay humble before God. I've seen some stuff that's just kind of nothing more than spiritual pride, junk, and really setting yourself up for some bad stuff. All you want to do is you stay in humility, you stay meek before God, and you realize it's not by my own goodness or power, it's by faith in that name that those forces are resisted off. And I just give you praise and thank you, Lord. My joy is full again. My joy is full again. I'm free again, and my joy is full because I have faith in that name. I live in that name. Whatever I do in word or deed, I do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I live in a conscious awareness of the name of Jesus Christ. There's power. Power to pray. There's power to resist. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick. They will recover. We see that power in the name. By the name, they cast out demons. And of course, the serpent thing, went through that. It was like the Apostle Paul. It's not something that you do to test God. Remember, Satan told Jesus, throw yourself down. The angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. There are people who handle serpents on purpose because it is written, you know, they'll take serpents. That's testing God. That's not what God honors. It's not a sideshow. It's not to prove your great faith. God's there when you need him to be there. But it's not a weird thing. God has gave us that name to deal with real spiritual forces that are arrayed against us. Because we wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against powers and principality. And we wrestle with that name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is how we wrestle back and push them back. So, but it's important to understand, these signs follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Those things, we see that there is authority in the name of Jesus. Believers, he said the believers are going to do this. This sign will follow those that believe. So there is the ability to resist. And then finally, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so here again, we can see all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. What is he basically saying? Since that authority has been given to me, go therefore. In other words, if I've got it, you've got it. All right? Therefore. Go therefore. Well, see, there's a connection. I like, if you see a therefore in the scripture, you got to see what it's there for. And what it's there for is to connect the previous thought. All right? He said, all power, authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. In other words, you are being commissioned with my authority. You have that authority. There is a continuity of thought there. And he's saying, go therefore. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in my name. Praise God. So, there is the ability to resist in the name of Jesus. There's a few examples here. The Apostle Paul, we can see in some things that we see. But finally, I just want to close real quick with the fact that there is also power to proclaim. There is power to proclaim in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you what, the church is here for a reason. The church is here. Well, the church is here to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think that was actually my first one, sorry. Go therefore. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing. We're here. We're here to preach the gospel. Do you know the most powerful the most powerful political tool in the entire planet is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think of who you are and where you are and what you believe and why you believe what you believe. And if I could take out of you your salvation, the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you into all truth, and just restore you to a state that you are now without hope and without God in the world, it might impact your politics a little bit. One of the most powerful things that you can do, we can do as a church, is to do what the Lord Jesus commanded us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what changes lives. It's what changed my life. You have to take your own personal inventory. But think about, what was the catalyst? Man, the Bible is the Word of God. Holy Spirit lives on these. You see things you couldn't see before. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation that gets people out of the sway of the wicked one and gets them born again. It takes them out of the kingdom of darkness, gets them into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's the gospel that does that. And a big part of why you believe what you believe is because you made this move right here. The church is commissioned to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. When you begin to look at what the scripture says about proclaiming the gospel, it's powerful. It says, and this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Romans, what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are preaching the gospel. We're declaring that a man named Jesus Christ, God, became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, that he lived a sinless life, that he taught us how to live. He healed the multitudes. And in his final act, he died on the cross for all of our sins, took our place. And that if we believe on his sacrifice for us and call on his name, make him the Lord of our lives, you will never die, but have everlasting life. It's the gospel. It's that simple message that we think everybody already knows already. No. Proclaiming the gospel. Proclaiming the fact Jesus loves you. He died for you. There is a power in the light of the glorious gospel. Why? Why do we have to do that? 2 Corinthians 4, this is the Apostle Paul saying, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Verse 4 basically tells us the conditions of the world. The world's minds are blinded by the enemy. There's a blinding effect that the enemy has. What breaks the blindness? The light of the gospel. We have been commissioned in the name of Jesus to proclaim that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power to shine in on a life. Again, you can evaluate your own testimony, your own story, whatever that might be. But at some point, the light of the glorious gospel came in. Praise God. It changed everything. And you realize there really was a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in another place, says, you know, we're ambassadors of this message. We're ambassadors to carry this message into the world. We've been given this message of reconciliation, is the way he put it. I'm just going to go ahead and just make a quick reference there too, because it's so important, you know. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation just means putting man back right with God. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There is power to proclaim the name of Jesus. When you proclaim the name of Jesus, like we said before, in this culture that we live in, while the world's under the sway of the wicked one, you mention the name of Jesus, and there's agitation. Jesus said, the rock of offense. You know, the Jewish people had a certain rock of offense that came with the name of Jesus as the stone that they had rejected. But there's also a stumbling block at the name of Jesus that we experience even as the New Testament church as a result of the powers and the principalities that were disarmed by that name. So it's an offense on different levels for different reasons. But one of the things that we realize here is that, praise God, that name, that gospel has the ability to shine light on that veil and give people something to respond to. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power on the most dense intellectual mind, and there is power, whether it's the most simple mind, in between, there is power in the name of Jesus. And it's not, it's power. It's power. In other words, my faith, my trust is in the name of Jesus. Paul said, I'm all things to all men that I might save some. There is a level that we can identify in the natural to let people know that we know where they're coming from. But our trust is in the name. It's in the gospel. It's in that power of the gospel. The gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. When I preach the gospel, there is power. And again, this is Peter saying simply, there is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Okay? And so there's power in that name. And then finally, I want to close with just a couple scriptures here. John, this is Jesus, again, kind of giving some closing advice to his disciples, some commandments to his disciples as far as what to expect. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's powerful. In other words, if you'd just conform to the world, you'd have no problem. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. They will also persecute you. If they've kept my word, they'll keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. In other words, you're going to proclaim that name, and you can expect that there will be persecution at times. There will be people that receive it and are blessed. There will be people that will persecute you. That's normal. And Jesus is saying basically, heads up. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Just because you get persecuted does not mean you missed it. Just because you get persecuted doesn't mean that your love walk was not sweet enough. You understand? There are going to be times when God will prompt you to say things that you may get persecuted for now, that later on will bless and minister to that person as the Holy Spirit brings it back to him and will be the thing that causes him to get saved. Stephen got stoned for preaching the gospel. Paul's holding the coats. His name was Saul at the time. Very offended. And later on, when that vision appeared of Jesus, there was dots connected from what he saw in that vision to the things that Stephen had preached just a few days before. So the things that people are persecuting you for now, they may be getting saved from later. And Stephen, he was martyred right there. And the Bible says he saw Jesus standing to receive him. He did it right. Stephen didn't miss it. He said, oh, Stephen, it was like, no, Stephen didn't miss it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He said the exact words he needed to say. And he was martyred. And yet, again, before he martyred, he said, behold, I see the Son of God. Jesus was right there to receive him. Didn't miss it at all. And we know the rest of the story. Paul took those words, Stephen, got half the New Testament. Praise God. So if people persecute you, it doesn't mean you missed it. You know, just in your own heart, praise God, Lord. I'm just going to say what you want me to say. Do what you want me to do. In fact, this is the way we're supposed to respond. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Are you getting persecuted for righteousness' sake? This is how we respond. This is how we react. Like the message puts it this way. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. That's a great word, isn't it? Should we have a victim complex if we get persecuted? Should we be full of raging bitterness? And just looking for... No, we don't. That's what the enemy wants you to do. People who are really taking a stand for righteousness in the world, that's how they respond to persecution. They rejoice and they're exceedingly glad. That's how you know you're of a right spirit too. When you're taking those stands for righteousness, you respond right. You have peace. That's the command of our Lord. Praise God. My trust is in Him. I'm taking that stand for righteousness for Him. He's ultimately in control. I'm doing my part. He's a member of the body. Praise God. I'm in sales. I'm not in management. I'm just doing what he's told me to do. And I'm free. And I rejoice and I'm exceedingly glad. Praise God. Keep your right heart. Keep your right spirit so you can keep winning people to Jesus too. Amen. If you don't keep this kind of spirit, you're going to find yourself wrestling against flesh and blood. And the glorious gospel will not be preached. When your spirit gets off, you're not reaching the lost anymore. Very important to keep our hearts right at all times. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power to pray. There's power, no matter what it is that I need from Him. I'm not intimidated by the size of what I need, big or small. My confidence is in the name. My trust is in the name. the name that backs what I need from God. Praise God. Praying in the name of Jesus. Praying with my trust in Him. Not my own goodness or power. Like Peter said, man, my goodness and power, my trust is in that name. Lord, I just trust your name. And if I'm off, I need change, I'll tell you, when your trust is in the name, you can hear from God if you need to adjust anything too. But when your trust is in your own goodness and power and your spirituality, you can't even hear. But when your trust is in that pure, simple name of Jesus, Lord, trust in you. Praise God. Look into you. Power in the name of Jesus. Also, there's power to resist. There are spiritual forces from the flesh, the world, and the devil that we have to deal with that push against us. And there is power in the name of Jesus to push back. There is power to say, in Jesus' name, I resist that fear. I resist that hatred. I resist that bitterness. I resist it in Jesus' name. You see, there is things that you've already forgiven that the enemy will try to come back and try through those spirits to bring back up, say, no, in Jesus' name. Take authority over that. I'm not going there. Not going there in my mind. That's what Paul meant when he said, you've taken every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You take some of those thoughts. You know, some of those thoughts are good. Say, wow, praise God. Holy Spirit gave me that to encourage me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Other thoughts? Ooh, that's bad. No, I resist it in Jesus. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what Jesus did when he resisted. He said, it is written. It is written. And he resisted. And we also, like our Lord, say, it is written. And we resist in the name of Jesus. The name of the one who spoiled anything coming against your mind that's not of him. And then finally, there's power to proclaim. We've been given that name to proclaim it, to declare it, to declare it in this world. Praise God, for people to get saved. When we proclaim that name, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the light of the glorious gospel. It shines on veiled minds. Veiled minds that are under the sway of the enemy need the message of the cross ministered to them. They need the message of the cross ministered to them by people who aren't afraid of persecution, who are going to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. In fact, the disciples of Jesus after the resurrection, they got beat and they went from the council rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. I wonder if that might have had anything to do with the power that was going on back then. They really had their hearts in the right place, didn't they? This wasn't just theology. They were living it. Not just cross stitch and frames. They're living it, man. They're living it. Might be something to the power and the shaking that they had. Kept that right sweet spirit. Weren't afraid of persecution. If you can't preach in that name anymore, well, judge for yourself. We're going to do what God tells us to do. In a right spirit. Praise God. Not hating people, loving people, preaching the gospel. Paul, I don't know how many times he got whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and all that stuff. Kept going. Grace is sufficient. Didn't have a victim complex and bitterness. No, he just kept going. Oh, that's a powerful person. But it's a person who knows the power in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we're so glad you've given us your name. We're so thankful, Lord, this morning for the power that's in the name of Jesus. That we can pray in that day. This is that day that we can ask the Father in your name. You don't ask for us. The Father himself loves us, born again into the family of God, able to speak the name of Jesus, to ask for things, Father God. Oh, Lord, the things we need to do your will in this earth, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the power that's in your name to resist the flesh, the world, the devil. No matter what comes against us, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Because the name, he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. And the power of God is released through the name of Jesus that destroys every chain of any force working against our mind. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love. We have the very spirit of a sound mind. Praise you, Father God. And the power to proclaim the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. You, that you have deputized us with this name to go into all the world and shine the light of the glorious gospel upon veiled minds, so the chains of those veiled minds may be broken and the light of the glorious gospel may burst in. Father, help us as the church to keep our spirit right, to declare this gospel, to love the people you've called us to. You did not send us into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through the church might be saved. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, for the precious, powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may go ahead and be seated if you want.